come out true.
The blues. The American expression that has profoundly changed the music of the world. Nearly everybody has been touched by it. And yet, people argue about the blues. What it is, where it comes from, how it's played. But one thing that nobody argues about is the name of the singer who gave the blues its unforgettable majesty. Her name is Bessie Smith. She was everything a legend should be, larger than life, inexhaustibly creative, and undeniably distinctive. I'm Nancy Wilson. In this edition of Jazz Profiles, we celebrate the music and artistry of singer Bessie Smith, the Empress of the Blues.
If you've ever been blue, you know I won't be. If you've ever been blue, you know how a good woman feels. You are weary, child, honey, yes, indeed.
If you analyze her singing,
composer Gunther Schuller,
and compare it, let's say, with some lesser singer of some kind, you can see that the notes that both may have sung are virtually the same. But the way Bessie could color and inflect those notes and modify them and vary them is what made it so distinguished and so personal.
Singers Coco Taylor and Susanna McCorkle, writers Chris Albertson and Albert Murray, tell us more about Bessie Smith's artistry.
It's a long old road, but I'm gonna find the end.
You know, like you listen to something and it just go in one ear and come out the other one, and you don't pay it no attention. It don't really mean nothing because they ain't said nothing. You know, like Jane Brown said, you're talking loud and ain't saying nothing. Well, what she would say in a song, the way she'd phrase it, it would automatically make you pay attention because she was strong with what she was doing.
She had so many little vocal tricks that she invented. Now we take them for granted if somebody sings 10 notes on a vowel, you know. No, but Bessie was doing, it's a long old road, but I'm gonna find the end. And she started that with her growls and slides and slurs and her wonderful rhythmic sense that always kept you in suspense. Some of it is just plain magic.
You can't trust nobody. You might as well be alone. You can't trust nobody. You might as well be alone. And my long lost friend, and I might as well stay at home.
She almost had a hypnotic quality about her. I mean, she was able to mesmerize an audience. She would walk one, as they called it. She would go down into the aisle and pick out someone in the audience and just look at them as she sang, and then she'd walk backwards and they would feel compelled to follow her up on stage.
I wanna be somebody's baby doll so I can get my love in all the time. I wanna be somebody's baby doll.
Bessie Smith has such a fantastic voice, and then her individual sensibility was so special that people who wanted to sing the blues thought of that as a way to sing the blues.
Mm-hmm. I tried to treat you kind. When you were lonesome, I tried to treat you kind. But since you've got money, it doesn't change your mind.
Bessie Smith with Lost Your Head Blues, recorded in 1926. Her accompanists were Fletcher Henderson, piano, and Joe Smith, cornet. Bessie Smith was not only a blues singer, she was an entertainer. As a young kid from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Bessie's conservatory was the weekly amateur contest she would enter at the local theater. In 1912, 18-year-old Bessie Smith got her first touring gig as a dancer. It was the start of her extraordinary career. Her place of work was called Vaudeville, where all styles of music, comedy, and drama would try their luck. The audiences could be fickle and even cruel, but their demands brought out everything a performer had to offer. Writer Chris Albertson.
She didn't just come out on stage and sing. She went beyond that. Her show had all kinds of comedy routines in it. She did slapstick comedy. She did all kinds of things. Bessie was a businesswoman who ran her own show, because in those days they didn't have an organization behind them that did all the work and set it out for them. She had her own railroad car. She had as many as 45 people on there. She ran her own show, and she went in to get the permit from the mayor of the town and set up her tent and whatever. And she hired and fired people.
The tent shows and vaudeville theaters hired local musicians to play in a pit band. It was a great experience for many of them. Trumpeter Doc Cheatham got some of his earliest musical training in these pit bands and played several times for Bessie Smith's shows.
All of them were out in the vacant lot. They set up a tent. They set up tents where they could have guys selling all kind of snake oil and stuff. And then the tent shows that I played with out of the carnival, they had a tent there with seats in like a theater. And they had a stage, a makeshift stage outside, what they called ballyhoo. They would bring the band out there, and the band would play. Then he'd introduce the comedian. He'd come out there, and he started buck dancing. The smoke all over, dust all over the place. A couple of girls to dance, and the singer. And they'd ballyhoo to the people to come, blah, 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 blah. You know, people come, stand in front. And they would sell the tickets, maybe 25 cents. So after the show, they'd come back out and do the same thing. That happened 6 or 7, 8 times a day.
When she sang in theaters, Bessie Smith often played the TOBA circuit. TOBA stands for Theater Owners Booking Association, a group of black theaters organized during the days of legal segregation. In 1924, Bessie Smith was booked by the TOBA to raise the quality of their shows. She was very much a class act, but working conditions gave the tour a nickname, Trumpeter Doc Cheatham.
The theater people that traveled on the TOBA circuit, we called it the tough on black actors. It was something to say to make the laugh about. Man, he's working on that old tough on black actors or whatever. All the black musicians knew, the show people knew that back in those days. We didn't call it TOBA.
Bessie Smith, in a duet with another Columbia Records blues star, Clara Smith, singing My Man Blues. There's no visual record of Bessie Smith's successful career as a vaudeville entertainer. But in 1929, she was cast in the lead role of a 17-minute movie. It's based on the song St. Louis Blues, a typical story about a woman who had been cheated by her man. Here's an excerpt of that vintage film starring Bessie Smith.
Now, wait a minute, Cliff. Grab the woman. Jimmy, don't leave me. Jimmy, please don't leave your Bessie. Woman, I've been gone before the evening sun goes down. Jimmy, don't I give you everything you say you want? What have I got? I give you clothes. I give you suits. Suits? Yes. Singular, baby, not plural. One suit, that's all. One suit. Don't leave me, Jimmy.
Oh, woman, get out of my face.
Don't leave Jimmy, please.
From the 1929 film, St. Louis Blues, starring Bessie Smith. Coming up, a special solo piano tribute to Bessie Smith, composed for her centennial birthday in 1994. I'm Nancy Wilson, and you're listening to Jazz Profiles, celebrating the music of singer Bessie Smith on NPR, National Public Radio.
Bessie Smith made her first record in 1922, a test record.
Record producer, John Hammond.
And that record was lost. And then she was signed by Columbia, the old Columbia Graphophone Company. And she made her first records in 1923. And she had her first hit on her first record, which was Downhearted Blues.
Once I was crazy,
Bessie Smith's debut record, Downhearted Blues. She was accompanied by pianist Clarence Williams. A verse in the song said, "I got the world in a jug and the stopper in my hand." And that's how it was for Bessie and most of the 160 song recordings that followed. They were so successful that she became the highest paid black entertainer touring the country and probably the most popular. A Birmingham newspaper wrote that streets were blocked. Hundreds and hundreds were unable to gain entrance to this performance. Bessie Smith had become a big star, which made it possible for her to perform alongside some of the greatest jazz musicians of the time, Louis Armstrong, Fletcher Henderson, Coleman Hawkins. Now, Bessie certainly learned a lot from her accompanist, but they surely learned a lot from her, too. Writer and critic Albert Murray and composer and jazz historian Gunther Schuller talk about Bessie's musicianship.
During that time, the star attraction tended to be the female singer, Bessie Smith. She was a headliner. She wasn't working for somebody. So in some of those recordings that you get, see, in the 1920s, it took the best technicians really to supply her what she needed.
She had a very individual way of inflecting her singing, the way she got into a note or into a word and the way she got out of it and what she did during the duration of the note. It's that combination of that improvisatory and spontaneous rendition of a song. Even a famous song like St. Louis Blues, she would do it in such an individual way that would stand out as, to me, as a work of art, not just a, you know, a little entertaining song.
The St. Louis Blues, a jazz classic performed by Bessie Smith with the legendary jazz trumpeter Louis Armstrong. Bessie Smith was superbly equipped to meet the artistic challenges of the jazz age, but tragically, she was less able to find a place in the changing economic and social fabric of America after the stock market crash of 1929. And there were other troubles, heavy drinking, a failed marriage, and a welter of emotional problems contributed to her decline. Producer, John Hammond.
When the Depression came, that wiped out the record business as we had known it. And it really wiped out the 75-cent record. And Bessie had always been on the Columbia label. So in 1932, I went down to Philadelphia, where she was working as a hostess in a speakeasy, and I tried to persuade her that she should record. And she said, "Well, John, I just want you to know that these are hard times, and nobody wants to hear no blues. We'll make some novelty numbers." And so I said, "Well, all right." But I said, "Miss Smith, I just want you to know that I'm going to get you a kind of band you've never had before. I said, to make you comfortable, I'm going to have a piano player who's an old vaudeville piano player, but he's wonderful. He's Buck of Buck and Bubbles. I said, I'm going to have Big Sid Catlett on drums. She said, I don't want no drums. I set the beat.
My man's got something. He gives me such a thrill. Every time he smiles at me, I can't keep my body still. I've done cried so much. Look like I've got to mump. I can't keep from wearing. Cause I'm down in the dump. I had a nightmare last night. When I lay down, when I woke up this morning, my sweet man couldn't be found. I'm going down to the river, into it I'm going to jump. Can't keep from wearing, cause I'm down. Someone knocked on my door last night when I was asleep. I thought it was that sweet man of mine making his full day creep. Was nothing but my landlord, a great big chump. Stay away from my door, Mr. Landlord, cause I'm down in the dump. When I woke up, my pillow was wet with tears. Just one day from that man of mine seemed like a thousand years. But I'm gonna straighten up, straighter than Andy Gump. Ain't no use of me telling that lie. All I'm down in the dump. I'm 25 years old. That ain't no me. I got plenty of film and vitality. I'm sure that I can make the grade. I'm always like a tiger. I'm ready to jump. I need a whole lot of loving. Oh, I'm down in the dump. $0.25, ha! No, no, I wouldn't pay $0.25 to go in nowhere, cause
tracks from Bessie Smith's last recording session for producer John Hammond. Gimme a Pigfoot and Down in the Dumps, with Frankie Newton trumpet, Jack Teagarden trombone, Chewberry tenor saxophone, and in Gimme a Pigfoot, Benny Goodman on clarinet. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is Jazz Profiles. Bessie Smith was grand and prepossessing, and literally the stuff of legend. She died of injuries suffered in a car wreck in 1937. Less than 25 years later, playwright Edward Albee was inspired to write a fictionalized account, The Death of Bessie Smith, that was produced off-Broadway. She became and remains an inspiration to many singers and jazz musicians. Singer Susanna McCorkle.
I got so deeply into her record of Young Woman's Blues. I'm a young woman and ain't done running round. There was so much pride and sorrow in that record. It seemed like my own life. You know, I'm as good as anybody in your town. I felt this was a woman talking about herself and her pride and how she was going to make her mark and she was going to do her thing.
I'm a young woman and ain't done.
There will always be stories about Bessie Smith, about her extravagant lifestyle, her love affairs, her drinking, and her death. But none of these legends is as real as what she herself has given us, a legacy of songs that can speak to everybody, and that will always make Bessie Smith the Empress of the Blues. For her centennial birthday in 1994, NPR asked the distinguished jazz composer Benny Golson to try to capture that legacy in music. He responded with Bessie and Me, a work for solo piano that is filled with the jaunty exuberance of the Empress of the Blues. Here, in a recording made especially for this tribute, is pianist Bill Mays to play Bessie and Me by Benny Golson.
Thank you.
pianist Bill Mays with a special arrangement by Benny Golson, titled Bessie and Me.
Are good. They're really far ahead of their time. For example, that song, "You've been a good old wagon, Daddy, but you done broke down." There are lyrics like, "Now you better go to a blacksmith shop and get yourself overhauled. There ain't nothing about you to make a good woman fall. When you were in your prime, you used to run around. You've been a good old wagon, Daddy, but you done broke down." Everything is this car metaphor, that the guy is like a car. He used to run. Now he doesn't run well enough anymore, and she's going to abandon him, which in itself is revolutionary for a woman of that time to be saying, "I'm through with you. You're not good enough anymore. You used to be hot, but now you're not hot anymore."
If you want to take notes or pick up ideas, a pattern, listen to Bessie Smith, because to me, she's the greatest, and she is one of the people that I used to listen to and I love and admire so much, and she gave me so much inspiration.
I've got a sad, sad story today. I've got a sad, sad story today. I'm going to the gin up when the whistle blows. My trouble come like rain that starts being pulled and pulled.
Her timing was so perfect. It was just the way she turned a phrase that was different from others. If you listen to Bessie singing something and then you listen to some other singer from the period singing the same song, then immediately you'll see what I'm talking about.
I've got those words kind of gin up blues. I've got those words kind of gin up blues. I'll make one trip there to seek an eye.
Bessie Smith was a sweetheart. She was kind, and she appreciated everything. She was selected as the best of the blues singers, and they took good care of her and saw that she had the best of everything.
Just remarkable voice, a distinctive voice, and an innate talent to color and inflect her singing with the most profound and moving expression. I mean, the emotion that she expresses in her singing is something really quite unique in jazz and blues singing.
Once I lived a life of a millionaire, spending my money, I didn't care. I carried my friends out
Basic and transcendent and popular at the same time. But I can't remember in my home any time when somebody said, oh, well, that's Bessie Smith, that's old stuff. No, they said, Bessie's gonna be so and so and so. Or you heard the new Bessie thing, you know, it was that.
A Bessie Smith medley with comments from Albert Murray, Gunther Schuller, Doc Cheatham, Chris Albertson, Susanna McCorkle, and Coco Taylor. Our celebration of the music and artistry of Bessie Smith was written and produced by Rolando Arrieta and edited by Andy Trudeau. Special thanks to Chris Albertson, Lynn Rosenfeld, Dan Morgenstern, and Larry Cohn of Legacy Recordings, Sony Music, and NPR's New York Bureau. St. Louis Blues movie excerpt provided by Archive Films. John Hammond interview courtesy of David Tarno. Our engineers were Soria Muhammad, Chuck Thompson, John Carrillo, Dennis Wall, and Matt Seitz of 39 Street Music Studios in New York. Jazz Profiles is produced by Tim Owens, assistant producer Madeline Smith, executive producers Mary Beth Kirshner and Murray Horowitz.
Ain't they demonstrating being a class of their own?
For more information about Jazz Profiles, this program, and a listing of future programs in the series, look for NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web at npr.org. That's npr.org. Major support for this program comes from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people to make the arts part of their everyday lives. Additional support has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Nancy Wilson. This is NPR, National Public Radio.